one is first on the agenda, isn't it?
Yes, and the recorder is running.
All right.
And,
is there anyone joining us by phone, or are we just connecting to the internet?
We have Bruce Gerhardsen on the phone, and the internet is on, too.
All right, thank you. All right, good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Weefald. The North Dakota Public Service Commission is holding a hearing this afternoon on case number PU08551. This is the Otter Tail Corporation, Cass County Electric Co-op Service Area Agreement application. It's September 10th, 2008. The commission is holding this informal hearing in our hearing room on the 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. With me today are my fellow two commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. First, we'll go to Commissioner Clark, see if he has any welcoming comments.
Good afternoon and welcome.
And Commissioner Kramer.
Good afternoon and welcome.
All right, and next we'll go to identify staff of the North Dakota Public Service Commission that are present for this hearing. We have with us Jerry Lean, who's an analyst with the Public Service Commission. And I don't see any other staff who are here today. Just want to make sure I'm not missing anyone. And then we also have with us representatives of Otter Tail and Cass County Electric Cooperative, and I'd like them to identify themselves. First, we'll start with Jerry Coyne from Otter Tail. Just walked into the room, though, is Pat Vaughn, another public utility staff member. And we'll go first now to Jerry Coyne and have her introduce herself and anyone else from Otter Tail who's participating in this informal hearing.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Weefald. My name is Jerry Coyne. I'm the operations manager for Otter Tail Power Company out of Wahpeton. And also attending today are Vice President Mark Helen and our area manager, Brad Howland.
Mm-hmm. All right. And next we'll go to Cass County Electric Cooperative, and we'll ask Scott to introduce himself and anyone else who is with him from Cass County Electric Cooperative.
Thank you, Commissioner Weefald, and Commissioners Clark and Kramer. Scott Handy, President and CEO of Cass County Electric Cooperative, and I'm here by myself.
All right. And then who is joining us by phone today, Jerry?
We have Bruce Gerhardsen on the phone from Otter Tail.
All right. Are you there, Bruce?
I am here, yes.
All right, thank you. And we have another person who's just sitting in preparation for the next hearing. And so now we're ready. And generally what we do in our formal hearings is have the applicants present their proposal to the commission. And so who would like to start, Jerry or Scott?
I can start, thank you.
All right.
I'll pass some maps around here of the proposed service area. Cass County Electric Co-op and Otter Tail Power have been working for the past several months in getting an electric service area agreement for the city of Castleton, North Dakota. And the handout that's being passed around shows the map that we've come up with for that area. It covers Castleton and Everest Townships for Cass County. The highlighted in the red would be the service area that Otter Tail Power Company would have. The blue area would be Cass County Electric Service Area. Now, when we were looking at this, we looked at where our customer base was for both companies, and this service area reflects that we Otter Tail Power Company has a lot of rural customers in Castleton Township and very few in Everest Township. The only close proximity is the one portion, which is the Castleton Industrial Park within the city limits of Castleton, and that's enlarged up in your upper right-hand corner of the map. And Cass County has been serving that industrial park now since the early 90s. Scott, do you have some comments?
Sure. Just a couple of comments. When Jerry and I sat down and worked out this agreement, and hopefully it's evident from the map, for the most part, we tried to follow section lines, quarter section lines, in some cases quarter section lines. And there are only two exceptions to that rule of thumb. One is that there's a portion of the agreement where we used an existing railroad line as a boundary. And then in the case of the industrial park, we followed the platted lot lines there. But in all other instances, we followed geographic or standard mapping features. Just a quick maybe curiosity question before we get in any further. The notice of opportunity has a different case number, Commissioner Weefall, than you quoted at the beginning. Mm-hmm. We have case number PU-7-757.
If I might address that.
Yes.
On my memo, there was a case number error, and that case should be 08, whatever it is.
551.
And I did send out a correction on that, it's right on the official versions.
Thank you. I missed the correction.
That's all right. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
The only other comment I would add to what Jerry said is that, like the Kindred agreement that you approved some months ago, maybe even about a year ago now, I was personally very pleased at the cooperation between our two organizations, and can assure the commissioners and commission staff that these negotiations were carried out in good faith and with the interests of our organizations and our customers and members at heart. And our organization wholeheartedly endorses not only this agreement but this process that we're working on, and we look forward to many more such agreements with Otter Tail Power Company in the coming months.
Now, I have a few questions. I'm sure do you have other information to present to the commission before we ask some questions?
Not right now, no.
All right. If you can help me understand better the box that's shown on the map of the territorial boundaries, it appears to me that I just need to understand where that box is located. Is that...
Geographically, if you're familiar with the Castleton area,
yes.
This lies on the north side of Old Highway 10 and west of State Highway 18. And as Jerry mentioned, back in the early 1990s, Cass County Electric, in cooperation with the city of Castleton, acquired 80 acres of land in that area for the purpose of developing an industrial park. And at the time, it was our feeling that since we were working on developing an industrial park, we ought to be the power supplier there, and in fact are. If you look at the expanded view of the inset there, let's take a look first at the left side. If you follow the railroad tracks up, you'll come to an east-west line, and you'll see that the boundary line extends about two-thirds of the way east from there and then jogs up to incorporate a lot. That lot is the John Deere dealership, which when it was built, just sort of under the guideline of proximity, was closer to Cass County Electric facilities than to Otter Tail. So that facility is technically outside the industrial park, but it is a facility that had historically been served by Cass Electric, so we drew the boundary line around it to include it in Cass's service area.
On the map that you have given to us, where is the city of Castleton itself located?
The city proper is straight north, although the industrial park is within the city by annexation.
All right. And
the box is between Interstate...
Interstate 94.
Where that hotel is.
Right.
All right.
The hotel is the lower right-hand corner of the expanded box there.
Okay. All right. And so are any customers within the industrial park switching providers as a result of this agreement? No. Okay. Are there any present customers who are switching from across the whole area that are switching providers as a result of this agreement? Okay. Have you had any contacts from customers as this agreement has been made public? I have not personally received any contacts, but have you, either one of you, received any contacts that you would like to share with the commission, or even if you wouldn't like to share them with, have you received any contacts about this, of customers who are concerned that they have been assigned to one service provider or another?
Cass has had no contacts either for or against this. I presume Otter Tail hasn't either.
We just had one question. Yeah. There was some confusion in a newspaper release where people in residential area South Castleton thought that they were going to be switched over to Cass Electric. And I just explained to them that it was the industrial park in South Castleton that would be staying with Cass County, and all existing Otter Tail customers would stay with Otter Tail, and so it was just a little confusion.
I would add that as a part of this process, we took this agreement to the City Council mm-hmm. in Castleton,
yes.
where it had a full hearing there. And after the council unanimously endorsed this, the city attorney went on for some time about his warm regard for the idea and for the agreement. So we feel pretty good that not only was the public offered an opportunity here, but we feel very well or very good that the area itself sees this as a positive.
We noted that this is quite a long agreement. It goes until, let's see, what's the year that's here, 2033. And so that would be 25 years.
Yes.
Will you share with the commission franchise with the city?
Boy, in Cass Electric's case, we would have secured our franchise probably in the early 90s, I'm going to guess 1993 or 94, and by statute, the term of a franchise is limited to 20 years. Mm-hmm. So that would be 2012 or 13 that would expire.
Okay.
And be up for reconsideration.
Okay. And Jerry Coyne?
2010, it looks like ours will be renewed. So
okay.
A couple years we'll be renewing our franchise.
All right, and has yours generally been a 20-year franchise
yes.
as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this goes beyond the date of either one of your present franchises.
Correct.
This agreement does.
It does, and sort of in anticipation of that, you may note in the agreement language that both parties agree that they will not in any way interfere with the other party's attempts to renew the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Questions from my fellow commissioners.
I was wondering about the
Commissioner Kramer.
Plant. Is that the blue box? Looks like it just might be a little out of sync, or is that?
No, Tharaldson ethanol plant is in section 33, which would be directly south of that area.
Okay.
Cass had built a line up to serve that site temporarily, and so they have some customers there now, but it would also give them an opportunity to further utilize that line that was constructed for future growth.
Maybe a comment on logistics there. We have an overhead line right on the west side of the road on the boundary between sections 32 and 33 going north from Interstate. Coincidentally, we also northeast corner of Section 33, we have three-phase service to a seed farm there that's being served by failing underground cable. So it's our medium-term plan is to use that existing line that we built for temporary service to the ethanol plant on the section line to extend east along the north side of the railroad tracks to replace the service to the seed farm that comes in directly from the south. So We there was a little bit of planning involved with that.
What's the historical development of that little almost an island just to the west and north of Castleton proper? I understand I'm asking about section 28, 3/4 of 27. It's Cass County territory, but surrounded almost.
Do you have facility maps along, Jerry? I didn't bring our facility maps, but Cass has existing electric plant in that area. Yeah. And I should have mentioned when I explained how we sort of established where the boundaries are, the other part of the equation besides following, mapping kinds of features was that we, whenever we could, we more or less split the difference in distance between existing plant. Which is what we did in that instance as well.
There's nothing in particular that drove that.
It's just the historical presence of our utility plant there.
Existing mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, do you have any further questions on this?
No, I don't. Staff recommendation. last sentence of the first of the second paragraph, 1231, 2031, that should be 33.
33. Mine has, oh, the second sentence should be 2033 as well.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. Pat Fahn, do you have any questions regarding this matter? Mm-hmm. All right, everything seems to be in order. Thank you. We also appreciate very much the people who are, you know, using this new law to work out agreements, and when they meet the needs of both the public and of the utilities in our state, then they're good agreements. So what we try to look for is the public interest in these areas, and we appreciate you bringing this matter and the information you presented to the commission. Thank you. I would anticipate that this would be on the next meeting agenda. 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to have us present there, or do you feel
that's entirely up to you? Generally, I would. It's up to you whether you wish to come or not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That won't.
It's not obligatory.
Prejudice here.
It's not obligatory.
Okay.
All right. No, we're used to many. We're used to, because of the long distances in North Dakota. That's why we have the internet, so that you can listen in on the internet and be able to follow the work of the commission as we do it.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Scott, sometimes they tell me to stay at home so I don't screw it up.
You're pretty quiet there, Bruce.
Well,
you must
Bruce
have been listening in on my visit with Bill Schlossman.
Bruce knows he needs to be called on in order to make comments. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right.
We do appreciate this, and I just want to say, too, it's been a pleasure working with Scott and Cass Electric on these agreements, and we're hoping to do several more in the near future to make this whole process go a lot smoother for
all right.
both of us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Thank
that ends the informal hearing on case number PU08720. All right. Next, we will go to. Next, we will go to case number. Let's see here. I have to find my case. Did I say we were ending case 720? I'm sorry. We're ending case number PU08551. Now, we're going to now open the hearing on case number PU08720.
This one shouldn't take so long.
All right. We're set. We're taping it. Thank you. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Weepwald. The commission is continuing today with case number PU08720, holding an informal hearing on the matter of Montana Dakota Utilities Company cost of gas tariffs, service rendered basis rates. The commission is holding this hearing in the 12th floor of the State Capitol Building, Bismarck, North Dakota. And with me are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Any opening comments from my fellow commissioners?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And then we have with us a representative from Montana Dakota Utilities. Rita, will you please identify yourself and title?
Yes, I'm Rita Mulkern, and I'm the Regulatory Analysis Manager for Montana Dakota.
Thank you, Rita. Then we'll go to an introduction of commission staff, and we have with us Patrick Fahn, Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, and Daryl Nitschke from our commission staff. And Rita, our normal procedure is for you to describe the proposal that you have before the commission. So if you would like to go through that with us, and then we'll see if we have further questions.
Yes, thank you. We filed on August 26th requesting to revise our Rate 88 cost of gas and our Rate 99 propane cost of gas tariffs to change it so that the cost of gas will be implemented on a service rendered basis instead of a bills rendered basis as specified in the tariff. And this is specified in Section 2A of the applicable tariffs. We have previously received waivers for the Rate 88 tariff in order to implement the purchase gas on a service render basis, and now we've requested to change the tariff so that on an ongoing basis we will be implementing the cost of gas both for the Rate 88 natural gas and for the Rate 99 propane customers on a service rendered basis. And it is what kind of stirred this was the implementation of our automated meter reading system, where we're now, we've installed everything, we're now in the process process of integrating the automated meter reading and refiguring our meter reading schedules to get the most efficiency out of our system. And during this transition time, customers may be receiving a bill that's longer or shorter than normal. And just to refresh your memory, I'll give an example of because we have had such volatile gas costs and changes up and down month to month, they can have an effect on customers, whether they're billed service rendered or bills rendered. And for example, I'll use last December as an example. Last December, the cost of gas increased by $1.68 per decatherm. And so a customer normally received their bill at the end of November for 30 days of service. All that consumption would have been at the November bill. Under bills rendered, if they received the bill December 5th for 35 days of service, all consumption would have been billed at the December rate. And so under service rendered, then a customer with a 35-day bill received December 5th would be billed 30 days at the November rate and 5 days at the December rate. And so we'll try to match consumption with the time period the rates were in effect. And this goes the other way, too. Customers sometimes, when the rate is a decrease, if a customer is billed the beginning of the month, it might be more advantageous than someone billed at the end of the previous month. But we do believe it, a service rendered is more equitable means of billing customers, because then, regardless of when your meter reading schedule is, if you're billed on the first of the month,
of the first of the day,
and someone one block over is billed the following day and you're paying different rates, this way just seems to be a little more equitable. It really didn't matter much when gas costs weren't as volatile as they are now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, and we expect that volatility to continue.
Well, one of the advantages of the technology of AMR is real-time information, so you're crazy not to take advantage of it.
Yes. The customer bill will show the average rate for the time period, but we also will have a bill insert, and we have been including a bill insert to customers when we haven't doing service rendered that will show. I brought brought some bill stuffers that will show what the rates were during each of the applicable periods. So a customer can go through and figure out, recalculate their bill.
Now, okay, I'll get to that question in a moment.
I think that pretty much sums up our request. And
it seems to me that on the present bill that I received as an MDU customer, that it shows both that I'm billed for so many days at this rate and so many days at this rate.
Yes.
And I like that.
Yes, and that will continue. And what it shows in the bottom, where it shows your average cost of gas for the month, that's the average. So that number doesn't tie to either exactly the 1 month or the either month or the other month.
But you still can calculate.
But you can still calculate with the bill stuffer. You would still be able to calculate your bill.
All right. Let's just go back to my comment again. On my bill that I receive right now, will it continue to be the same?
Yes, it will look just like the bill. In fact, the August and September bills were on a service rendered basis. So the bill you received, it would look just like that.
Okay, and so on that bill, I don't quite understand the average part, but I do understand that, let's say my bill was for 20 days in August and 10 days in September. It shows me the cost of gas for each one of those months. And then what is this average you're talking about?
I didn't bring a copy bill with me. On the bottom, it will show the cost of gas for the month, what we used to call the PGA.
Yes, but that's what I thought was in my two lines up above. One for, let's say, 20 days for August and 10 days for September, a cost of gas for each of those months.
I think on the bottom of a bill, though, and that's what I forgot to bring with me, it shows what the cost of gas, the commodity cost of gas for the month, and it is the average of those two pieces.
Okay, and is that figured individually for each customer?
Yes, that would be
based on how many days you, so the number that might be on his bill for the average, if he received 20 days in September and only 10 days in August, while I received 20 days in August and 10 days in September, his average number would show a different amount.
That's right. Okay. It would be based on your bill.
All right. I was a doubter of this, as you remember. But I've looked at my bills, over the summer, and I understand how the commodity cost of gas is fluctuating greatly. And I am now more comfortable with this, and I'm glad I had a chance to try it out before it became permanent. One of the questions that Pat Fahn had on the bottom of his memo was whether you have had any, it says, if MDU has experienced minimal issues billing on a service rendered basis, I recommend approval. So we're wondering if you have had any billing issues.
We have not had any billing issues. We, you know, service rendered is, it's our billing system has always been capable of it, just a switch of bills rendered to service rendered. In addition, we did check with our call center to see if they had any increased number of calls from customers, and it really was not an issue at all. They had no change. You know, it did not factor into where they noticed they were receiving calls from customers not understanding their bill. So really there's been we have noticed no effect as a result of when we have been on service rendered.
Okay. All right. Further questions from my fellow commissioners? It's been good to have a trial period. It's been about how many months have you had it in place? Was it April that we?
April, yes.
So we got May, June, July, August, 4 months basically of experience with this. Any questions from staff?
I'm just thinking in my mind about the calculation. And I was wondering if I could clarify myself. You have 10 days.
Actually, the calculation calculates out 10 days. It assumes equal daily usage.
Okay.
And says, so this many days is at the August rate, and I'll take that many decatherms times the August rate. This many days at the September rate, those 10 days or 20 days at the September rate. So it doesn't calculate an average and apply it. It applies it individually, and then the result is an average cost.
Take the usage over the time period divided by the number of days.
Right.
So, for example, then, if you were in a really cold weather period of time in 1 month and you used a lot more natural gas in that month and you used a lot less in the month before, a calculation,
It's not just based on days. It's based on volume.
No, I think...
It does assume equal daily volume, so that if the weather... In
the weather
one
changes.
Period, but it, you know, we're there are some constraints with trying to determine then for that day. So, it assumes equal daily.
So, if the weather changed dramatically between one month and the other, we're the only ones who are ever going to know this, but we do know it now, which is good to know. Thank you. And so, there is no way that you can track how many decatherms were used in the month prior to the switch in price?
No, because we base everything. When we do our weather normalization, it's based on that 30 or 35-day period, and the weather during that period, it doesn't break it down into days.
But that's your weather normalization.
Right, but we do that on a billing period basis, not an individual day basis, so we can't use that to apply it over here. I mean, we use the daily assumption, for instance, on the electric side when we go into our seasonal rates. You know, we do that in June and then again in October, and that's implemented on a service rendered basis, and again, it assumes equal daily usage.
How about, but with this meter that you have now that you can read, doesn't it give you the data so that if you actually wanted to, you could break it down on a daily basis? Because I'm sure that meter... reader is coming in on a daily basis.
Where we have two methods for the automated meter reading. One is the fixed network, which is what we have in combination areas like Bismarck, where it collects the data and then we can query that data on demand. The other method is where we have areas like Minot where we only serve the gas, there we use the drive-by where we collect the reeds, we'll drive by and collect the reeds. So we don't have instantaneous access to all billing data. We're collecting it on the fixed network. We're actually collecting it on the fixed network only when we query it. And we still only will be generally reading bills once a month.
For large customers, are you going to be doing this the same way as for residential?
Or large customers, there's a large customers, for the most part, are billed at the, like the Air Force or like the large sales customers, are generally billed at the end of a calendar month. And so all their consumption falls within one billing period anyway.
I see. Like, is Tesoro a large customer? I know they're on contract. Is that only for electricity, or do you also have contract with them for gas?
I'm not aware what type of customer, whether they're sales or transportation, and this would, you know, really apply to the transportation customer. Excuse me, the sales customers.
Sales customers. Oh yeah. Well, that's interesting. It isn't as accurate, I think, as what you would hope. I could see that the weather could change, let's say, between the end of March and the beginning of April, and people turn off their heat or whatever, and they would be billed completely at the, you know, they'd be billed at both rates, even though they hadn't used any electricity, and it wouldn't matter if the rate went down, but if the rate goes up, you'd have a difference.
And, in theory, it's going to go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, before customers, when the rate went down, those at the beginning of the month would benefit. When it went up, they were
right.
They would not benefit. And now, by paying during the month, it's more equitable. It's not scientifically accurate, probably, but it is equitable, and it represents a good balance.
Okay. All right. Further questions? Pat, anything more? Okay. All right, Alana. Okay. Thank you. I would anticipate that this would also be on the next agenda. Commissioner Kramer is portfolio holder. Does that sound right? Okay. And so with that, if there's nothing further, then we'll close the hearing on case number PU08720. Thank you.
Is it from MDU?